Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we give praise to you, we honor you, and we thank you so much for Jim's presence with us today, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come upon him right now and that you would overshadow him and that you would fill him with your words. And may the words that he speak be words straight from you, Lord. We pray for open ears, open eyes, and open hearts to take in and receive the word that you have for us that will be spoken through Jim. We thank you for his service that he has done for us here, but mainly, Lord, for his service that he has spent over the years working for you, Lord, and serving you. We give praise, honor, and glory, all glory to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that prayer over me always. You know, a lot of people don't realize intents and what goes into preparing a message and trying to listen to the Lord. And there's a lot of things that we go through, and then it's like, okay, maybe I'll do a sermon on that. You know, you tend to go with where you're at, how you feel in your heart. But with a message, I want to go with what the Lord has. Sometimes they're the same. Maybe the Lord orchestrates that so that we really get it down and we'll be able to express it. But a lot of things, most all the things that I preach on anyway, I've experienced before in my life. You know, if I talk about miracles happening, I've experienced that happening. And you know, when you experience the goodness of God and the miracles of God and godly power and his presence, nobody can take that away from you. You know, it's yours. And you can say, well, I'm sorry you believe that way. You don't believe that can happen, but I've experienced it. I've seen it, you know. And so I thank God that that he does that in me. I think he works with everybody differently. Amen. I think that's really important. But, you know, what we need today, I believe, is to learn how to get your touch from God. There's a lot of times we have needs. Maybe it's just a spiritual need. God, draw me closer. Lord, I want to know and feel your presence. Or Lord, I've got a sick loved one. What do we need to do here? Lord, they need your touch. And so I'd like to talk about things that may hinder that and then talk about things that would encourage and allow that. Man, I need a touch from God. And I won't settle for less. You know what I mean? And a lot of us settle for less. And it's like that. God doesn't want us to settle for less. Doesn't want us to compromise. He wants us to understand and know that he is such a great God. He is so powerful. You know, as a father, just think, do you want the best for your kids? You know, don't you want the best for them? You don't enjoy seeing them sick and hurting. You don't enjoy seeing them where you got great needs and you can't supply. Well, I'm going to tell you, we got a God that can supply. Amen? And he cares and loves us more than we can even love our own children. So we need to understand God a little bit better, I think, so we can receive the goodness that he has for all of us. Man, if you had everything in the world, wouldn't you love to just give? I enjoy giving anyway. And sometimes I get to where, man, I wish I could give more than what we're doing. And so then I work towards that. I don't just, oh, woe is me. No, I work towards that so I can do more. And God has blessed that. So anyway, that's not even part of her sermon. But anyway, I think it was something that I needed to say. You know, we're in Luke 8. I'm not going to read that just yet, but in Luke 8, we're going to start with verse 40 and probably go through 56. There's two needs there. But let me ask you this, and maybe think about it too for even other people. It seems that many Christians today are not really hungry for more of God. You know what I mean? They're just kind of happy where they're at. You know, it's like, I go to church, you know, if your wife drags you every Sunday, you know, it's like you'll say, I go Sunday, I'm with you, and all of that, but don't ask me to go on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how we are. It's like, preacher, you're expecting too much. Come on, leave me alone. I know Jesus. I'm saved. I go on Sundays most of the time. I'm good. I'm happy. God loves me, and that's enough. Let's just leave it alone. And I see a lot of Christians that are like that. And so I'm not condemning. I'm just saying you're missing a whole lot. You know what I mean? You're really missing out. There's so much that we can have from God. You know, I got my bucket list. Y'all have bucket lists? Well, my bucket list is this, is I don't want to get to heaven and God show me a whole lot of things that he had called me to do and I didn't do them. That's my bucket list. So when I feel led to do so, I'm going to do it. Even though I don't understand it, even that it may turn out that it's not really what I should have done at the time, but I would rather err in trying to be right than just not doing anything at all. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get hungry. Lord says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, for they shall be filled. Y'all know what it feels like to be righteous and full of God? Man, it's great. So you'll never regret doing that. Never. So let me say this to you. There's a lot of things that we don't understand in God's word. And you may hear it preached, especially by me. And I make a lot of people angry because of it. But the ones I think that I make angry are the Christian Pharisees. Do y'all know that there's Christian Pharisees? And a lot of times that causes a lot of problems in the church. Oh, we're not going there. No. No, I don't believe that. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. And they think they're doing good. And they're Christians. But they don't understand maybe what God's trying to do at that time. Let me give you a scripture. Mark chapter 7, 1 through 3. Y'all should know by now that if I step on your toes, I'm going to preach what God gives me. You know what I mean? Y'all heal later, right? It says, then, verse 1, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of the disciples, a Pharisee always finds something wrong. And they're pretty negative most of the time. And so they came and they found a problem. Some of the disciples were eating bread defiled. In other words, they didn't wash their hands the way you're supposed to. You know, you do it like this. I don't know how all they did it, but they had a ritual on how they washed their hands. If you didn't do it that way, you were defiled. So anyway, they found fault in this. And so there's a problem now. I mean, just eating bread. You know, can we all learn to get along a little better? You know, that's what you think. But anyway, even Jesus healing on the Sabbath. How about the lady that was bent over for 38 years? Have you ever seen anybody? I'm thinking of an elderly man, that Christian who walks. He looks at the floor all the time, and he tries to raise his head to see you. So I can imagine him at 38 years, the lady, and Jesus said, man, I feel for her. And so he heals her. But it was the Sabbath, and here comes the Christian Pharisees. Don't you have 6 other days to heal? Why would you do it on the Sabbath? So they're fault finders a lot of times. Anyway, moving on. Mark 9, 38 through 40. even Jesus' disciples. And it says, now John answered Jesus, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons. Terrible. In your name. And we forbid him because he does not follow us. But listen to what Jesus said. He says, but Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is really on our side. Now, I looked at that, and do you know there's a lot of Christians or a lot of people today in the church who are hearing the word and doing it all in the flesh. Sometimes it's good or better than a lot of Christians, but they don't really know the Lord. It's like these guys casting out demons. They didn't know the Lord, but yet they used his name. And it worked. So they continue to do it. It's like in the church, we come to the church, we take part in everything, we feel better. God blesses us for our efforts. But sometimes we really don't know the Lord. You know, we got to kind of go all the way. It's not just, well, let's just do our best and serve God and be good people. But we need to go all the way saying, Lord, I want you in my life. I want to serve you. I want to be saved. I need to be saved, right? Otherwise, we can do all the work and we won't go to heaven. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. Have you read Matthew 7, verse 21? It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And folks, there's a lot of them in the church that Jesus doesn't know. You can say, well, I know Jesus. Well, great. Does Jesus know you? You know what I'm saying? And churches need to hear this. People need to understand that. And so when I preach this, a lot of times, you know, people, you know, why are you going with that? Well, I guess it's like my wife says, I just like to make you mad. However you want to take it. Now look at this one here in Luke 8, 37, verses 37 through 39. It's about the man. Remember when Jesus went over and cast out the legion of demons in this guy? He's the one that couldn't be chained or tied or anything. He ran through the tombs and the mountains naked and just being crazy. It says in verse 37, later a great many people from the town there in the countryside got together and asked Jesus, after they seen the miracle, they got together and they asked Jesus to leave. Can you imagine that? But they got together and they asked Jesus to leave. You see, there was too much change, too fast, and it scared them. So Jesus got back into the boat and set off. The man whom he had delivered from the demons asked to go with him. Man, I'd want to go with him too, wouldn't you? I don't know if I want to stay with a group of people like that that don't want Jesus. So he went back. This guy went back and he preached to all the towns everything Jesus had done for him. And there was a great revival that took place because of him. But you know, there's a lot of times that I talk about the Holy Spirit and it upsets people. And I'm like, why is that an issue? They believe in a, well, we receive the Holy Spirit when we're saved. Well, you receive the Spirit of God when you're saved, yes. But it doesn't mean you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, two different things. And so what people are rejecting many times because they don't understand. Now, these people I'm talking about, these Christian Pharisees, I don't hate them. I love these guys. In fact, I rub shoulders with them all the time. And we're friends. And they don't agree with most things I say. In fact, they'll get in my face about it. And it's like, it's okay. I was like that one day myself. I was a Christian Pharisee. And I complained about a lot of things. And I believe that there was none of this other stuff. Especially, there's one guy that I shared at, and I had a preacher, and I mentioned tongues. And just that one word set him off. Just the one word. And I'm like, it's scriptural, but when they're like that, you just got to kind of go on. So he's a good friend of mine. You know, I've got lots of them, and it's okay. But they don't beat me up or anything like that, other than with sometimes the way they might talk to me. But it's okay. The Lord says that if you want to live godly, you're going to be persecuted. Going to be, just look for it. But I'm praying that one day these guys will get a touch, a real touch from God and the Holy Spirit. And just like the Lord did with me, it'll change their lives as well. So if you all are not there and have not heard much about it, it's okay. It's like I was reading in the Bible, and I read all of this stuff, and I say, man, we're not supposed to believe any of this. And so I went in then and started to research it. You know, it's kind of like a Jewish lady who did a study at school, for school, and it was a term paper on how wrong Christians are to believe in Jesus. So through her research and all the work that she did, she got saved. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. Get it in God's Word. Read it. Don't just say, well, I don't believe it, and tear that page out. You know, study it. And that's what I did. And God got a hold of me. I'm like, Lord, it's in your Word. That's why I say to these guys, I said, guys, I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a denomination. I'm a believer in God's Word. And I'm going to preach God's Word. And so we go from there, and we have, I guess, that understanding. But folks, we don't want to grieve or hinder the Holy Spirit in any way. Now, let's look at our text here. Getting our touch from God. Verse 40. Luke 8, verse 40. Yep. And it says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And that says right after he left, were the people there didn't want him. So they were all waiting, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Folks, he really needed Jesus. Sometimes I believe the Lord allows us to come to points like this so he can deal with us. Do you ever know that? When everything's going good, who thinks of Jesus? Who says, man, I got to go to church. It's just too good. I don't know of many. But when things get really bad, Remember when the towers fell? Churches filled. We didn't have room for people. But soon after they forgot about it, as it wore on, then they started to dwindle. All the Israelites, what did God do with them when they turned against God and forsake him and went to other gods? He let an enemy come in and conquer them. And then when they woke up in captivity, after several years, many years, they prayed to God, and what did God do? He delivered them, brought them back, and then soon it went the other way. It's back and forth sometimes, and that's how we are. So anyway, he needed Jesus. It says, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age. She was dying, but as he went, the multitude thronged him. I want to know, let you know that the multitude was all around Jesus, touching him and all of that. And it says in verse 43, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Immediately. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes are thronging you and pressing you. And you say, who touched me? Do you ever question God? I mean, really. Do you really question God? We do it all the time, don't we? In fact, that's why God told me, he says, Jim, you get in my way. I'm like, Lord, what do you mean? I'm here in Honduras trying to serve you. And he won't reason with you. He won't argue with you. He just tells you, and that's it. You believe it good. If you don't, it's still truth, because he said it. Amen? So for the longest time, that just kind of boggled my mind. What do you mean I don't trust or I get in the way? And it's because I question his word all the time. God tells me something to do a lot of times, and I'll say, well, boy, really, what good? What if they don't receive it? What if they get angry at me? Maybe I'm not hearing you right. Do you ever do any of those things, have any of those questions about things? But God, you know, why me? Who am I? I'm nobody. Lord, I'm not eloquent in speech, kind of like Moses, right? And that's what the Lord meant to me when he says, you get in my way. You question me. You doubt me. You don't stand on my word. You know it, but you don't stand on it. So he says, you just get in my way. I tell you, and you won't do it. I got a daughter like that. Tracy is her name, Lover. Charlene would say, Tracy, would you go on into the kitchen and just kind of wipe the cabinets off or put the dishes away? She'll go in there and take everything out of the cabinets, everything. And she's going to do a spring cleaning of everything. And all she wanted to do is just put a few dishes away, wipe off the counter. That's all you got to do. She's been in there for hours. And it's like, Tracy, we appreciate it, but it didn't need it. And so the more she did it, the angrier she got. And it's like, why do you do that to yourself? We do that all the time with God. And most of us are very good people, and yet we don't know we do it. We don't realize sometimes. But anyway. So, who touched me? When all denied it, well, Peter told him, how can you ask such a question? But Jesus said, somebody touched me. For I perceived power going out from me. Folks, this is how it should work with our prayers. We need a touch. We went down. My son-in-law was doing so good with his cancer. Working, no problems. Everything was great. He looked good. And then all of a sudden, he did a downturn. And so remember I told you last week how my grandson took me as not having faith to believe? Sometimes I don't have the faith I need, and I go to God, Lord, I need your faith. I need you, Holy Spirit. You've got to give me strength, and I need the word. And the Lord spoke to me, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we drove down there through the week, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday we drove down. That's a little over 3 hours away. We're very busy at this time trying to get a roof on an apartment and cleaning one out and replacing the floors and painting and trying to get another renter in there. And we're really busy, you know, with doing that. And I wish I was 40 years younger. I could handle it better. But even then, I'd probably be tired. But we shut it all down. And we went. Really felt God was telling us we need to go down. See, what happened a few days prior to that is my daughter and her husband, my son-in-law, they went to the doctor. And the doctor says, you might as well go home. I'm not even going to look at you. He was supposed to go in for treatment. For chemo. And the doctor said, no way. He says, I'm not doing anything for you. He said, I want you to go home and call hospice. He said, I'll give you 1 to 2 weeks to live. Folks, we need to touch God. We needed to touch God. And that's like some of you who are desperate. See, we need to learn how to touch God. Even though the crowds are there and everybody else is praying and everybody else is doing it, we have got to learn to touch God. And when we do, then we get results. See, Jesus knew somebody touched him. When you pray, does Jesus know you touched him? Does he feel the virtue going out of him into you? So we went down and we prayed for him. You know, we prayed for him. He received. We laid hands on him. I was expecting things just to change right then. Totally healed. But when we first walked in, I guess, all he is a rack of bones with a thin layer of skin laid over it. I didn't even hardly recognize him. He had just been to work that day. He went to work and worked 5 hours. They have their own business. He worked 5 hours. I'm like, man, in the flesh, I would say, you need to be on hospice. You know, and that's what the doctor seen. But then we had to look through this and know, God, you said, your word says. And Lord, I trust you. See, now it's no longer my faith. But it's when the Lord touched me and I touched him and I got his word where he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we went down, we prayed for him, and it was a gracious time. And you could just sense the anointing and the presence of the Lord. And so we were there a couple hours, I guess, and then we had to get back home. So our daughter called and said, he said, shortly after we left, he said, I'm hungry. Would you scramble me an egg? So she went in and scrambled two of them. And he ate it, all of it. Now that's more than he's eaten probably in the whole month before. Because it hurt him so bad to eat anything. So he wouldn't eat. Might take a little forkful of this once in a great while, maybe in every 2 or 3 days. Because he couldn't eat. It hurt him too bad. Here he ate the whole egg, and he said to my daughter's wife, he said, was that a pretty big egg? So he only wanted one egg. He thought, well, I'll force that down. But he ended up eating two because she just made two. So that was such a blessing. See, you need to honor God even in the little things. He ate, whereas he wouldn't have eaten before. Well, the next day, my daughter went and got a barbecue sandwich and fries and came home. And he ate a portion of that the next day and some fries. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching my grandson. I don't know if he's going to get I don't know what the Lord wants to do in this. But he's teaching us a lot of things. We're learning to stand by faith. We're learning that we need to touch God. And when we get that touch and we get that word, we can get some results. Amen? Instead of just hoping. So it's important that we learn to do that. Now let me continue on. So he perceived power. Verse 47. Now when the woman said that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down at his feet and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You see, folks, she had to sneak and defy the law. The law said that if you're unclean, you are not to get in a crowd and around other people. It was like leprosy. And they could stone you to death because of it. And she was to the point, and that's what we need to do in God's word, to get to the point that it doesn't matter all these other things. What matters is I've got to touch Jesus. I've got to touch my Lord. He's the only one that has the answer, the only one that has the power. Folks, that's how our Christian walk needs to be, because I'm telling you, persecution's coming to the church. And are you going to be able to stand? So she defied it all, and that's why she was afraid to even say anything. And this is what Jesus said to her, verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Anybody need peace? Anybody want the peace that passes all understanding? Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter. So you get a peace that passes all understanding, it'll work out. However, it'll work out. And that's where we've been facing a lot of things. I remember when Charlene had to go down for all of her cancer surgeries and different things that she had gone through. And there were certain songs that she loved. And when we were driving to Traverse City to go to the doctor, and those songs would play almost one after the other. So build our faith and her faith. And so we got there, man. I mean, it was just like peace passes all understanding. God, you got this. You got it. And then when I had my surgery, see, I've got a new kidney. So I've had a kidney transplant. And we were all pretty nervous about it, but I prayed about it and everything, and God just gave me such a peace. And I'm like, wow. This is good. So it turned from having worry and fretting about it. It went to the place where I just became curious. See, I'd never been operated on before. This is over 10 years ago. And my kidney, that the one they put in, is from my daughter. And it's a little thing, but she is so rambunctious, you know. Anyway, I knew her kidney would be good. It had to be to keep up with her. And so the doctors say, man, that kidney, it's working better than an original kidney that you might have had. And so I thank you, Lord. But see, when we went in for the process, the nurse was saying, said, are you nervous? I said, no, why? Oh, yes, you are. Everybody's nervous. She said, you don't know how it's going to turn out. I said, yeah, I do. It's going to work great. She, well, you're still worried. I said, I'm not. Well, she said, we'll see for sure. So you know how they take your blood pressure. Took my blood pressure, and it was normal. She said, you're not nervous, are you? I'm not nervous. I was just curious. I even joked with the surgeons when they took me to the operator room. I'm looking around, you know, thinking, it's a pretty drab place, really. And it just has that big bright light, and they slide you over on the table, and everything's painted white. So I was asking them how, this was in the afternoon, I said, how tired are you guys? They said, what do you mean? I said, well, am I the last one you're going to do? Because I don't want you falling asleep in the middle of this, you know. Oh, no, no, they laughed, you know, and everything. But then they, you know how they put you out? They said, now I want you to go ahead and start counting. And I'm like, 10. And I was out. And the thing that bothered me the worst is when they woke me up. It's like, would you just let me sleep? But anyway. But see, that we have got to learn to touch God and to trust Him with everything. With Him, we have everything. Without Him, we really have nothing, folks. You're just living by a dream, a dry hope. Will it work? Fear. That's all we end up with, right? Fear with hope. Hope it didn't happen, but. So anyway. So he said, daughter, you're all right. You go in peace. Then it says that while he was still speaking, one of the people came from the synagogue of Jairus' house saying to him, your daughter's dead, do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. And of course, we know how he went, and he had to kick everybody out. Because they laughed at him when he says, she's just sleeping. So anyway, he kicked them all out except for the parents and three of his disciples, took her by the hand and told her to rise up, and then he told his parents, the parents of the little girl, you might want to give her something to eat. She's hungry. So they took her and fed her. But we got to go get God. We got to learn how to touch God. John 4:7. This is how we do it. John 4:7-10 says this. So then, surrender to God, stand up to the devil, and resist him, and he will flee from you. When the doctor told my daughter, call hospice, she said, I reject that. I'm not going to receive that. We're receiving what the word says. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and He will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure, and stop doubting. Feel the pain of your sin. Be sorrowful and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. Be willing to be made low before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So let's seek the Lord for who He is, falling in love with Him. You know, many of us only seek God when we need something. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty. I'm learning different, but I was guilty of it. Look at John chapter 6, 26. When the people came to him, he says, That's after he worked the miracle, the bread, remember, just before? And now they came looking for Jesus, the people that ate all of the bread, the 5,000. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, or he said in another translation, let me make this very clear. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle. Not because you believed in me. Verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on you. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Now listen, what can we do? Even in salvation, how do we get saved? What do we do? How do we serve God? How do we touch God? And look at what Jesus said in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Did you catch that? I don't know if you caught it, because I'm going to tell you, I've read it for 20 years and I didn't catch it until just this morning. Look at the red, in red, on verse 29. He says, this is the work of God. This is what God did and does. He gives you the power to really believe in him whom he sent. Folks, if we believe in the Lord, I want to tell you, you're not going to believe. You can even read verse 44. It says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last days. Don't know you're not even saved just because, oh, well, one day I woke up and I believed. No, you woke up because God called you and he gave you the faith to believe. Isn't that something? That's how much God loves us. And I often thought, after I was first saved, I said, God, why'd you save me? I was a terrible person. Why? I said, God, if I was you, I wouldn't have saved me. And I wouldn't have. I would have put myself right in hell. And the Lord said, but I've called you for a purpose. I've given you the faith to turn and to believe in my son Jesus, whom I've sent for you because I loved you. You see, God did all the work. All you did was listen and said, okay, Lord, I need Jesus. You know, at first I thought of that. And it's like, dummy, that wasn't you, it was God. Kind of like the guy when he witnessed to me. Great witness. I'm sure he went to school for it. He said this, Jim, if you died tonight, where would you go, heaven or hell? Well, thank you. That was really encouraging. But God used it. He says, now, Jim, I want to tell you something. You need to change. Because if you died tonight, you're going straight to hell. Now, you need to come to my son, Jesus. And he gave me the faith, the grace. See, it says by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. If you're saved today, it's because of God. Folks, you've already been touched. Amen? Do y'all realize that? You guys already knew that? Did you? Good for you. I didn't. But sometimes I can be as dumb as a box of rocks. But anyway, I'm going to quit there. Folks, I'm excited in the Lord. And I'm excited that the Lord wants to touch all of us. And we can touch him. And folks, instead of just praying and hoping, we can pray and know. But we need to work at it. It doesn't just happen. We need to apply ourselves. God wants us to come to him and love him. Not for what he can do for us, but who he is. It's easier for women, men, I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, you can do it. See, Mary, I believe it was Mary that went, and she cried, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And you know how women are so particular with their hair? She dried his feet with her hair. That's humility. And that's all we need to do, is humble ourselves in the sight of God. Draw close to him. Quit playing games with sin. God hates it. And it's detrimental to us. We need to learn to touch God. You won't regret it. Amen? Father, thank you for your word today. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just, each heart, help us to know, Lord, what your desire for us is and how that we can truly touch you. Father, I've only shared just the tip of the iceberg. But Holy Spirit, you can help them to make sense out of all of it, plus more, and the scriptures that they already know because of it. So Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your touch and your Holy Spirit and all that you want to do in all of us. Thank you for our salvation. And Lord, we give you praise in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now if our prayer team wants to come up, and we've got prayer for you folks. Don't be afraid of prayer. Okay? Don't be afraid of prayer. These are good people, and I've watched them pray for people. They've got a heart. So, a heart of love.